Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Kinder Schofield Reference Bible, page 1252, 1252. We'll read these verses responsibly. And shall we stand, please, as is our custom. The text verse is this first verse I'll be reading. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. This is an opportunity that comes once a week, the evening service on Sunday here at the First Baptist Church. And it's always been a blessed time. There's something special about the evening service, something that just cannot replace it. So we're glad to be here. We're glad to have those who visit with us. But we're glad especially for the assembling of the family, the church family. Father, we thank you for making it possible for us to be here, and so we pray that you'd help us to make full use of every moment spent here in this auditorium. Very especially bless our preacher and help us to listen with the intent that we might gain something from thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
I often see there are Hollis Anderson College preacher boys when they're in my office for counseling. Do not get stereotyped as a certain kind of preacher. I think you ought to have all of your alternatives available. There are times when I think you should be quieter than others and times when you should be more serious than others. And I have tried through these years not to ever become stereotyped so you would expect a certain kind of a sermon on a certain kind of an occasion. And to disappoint it, tonight I'm going to bring a rather unusual type message from the book of Ephesians. We read it a while ago. We'll not turn to it again. Chapter 4 and verse 1, which says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The title of my message is, Walk Worthy of the Vocation Wherewith You're Called. I hope you'll listen carefully. It'll not be a lengthy sermon, which means it'll probably be 2 hours long. But not a one of you mean the amen that you just pharisaically said just then. Our Heavenly Father, I come again to the place where I've been coming for 41 years nearly. Same old book. What an amazing thing it is to think that this book and this place could attract the full house of people. After 41 years of the same fellow talking from the same book. The Pope couldn't do that. He came to the same place for 41 years. He couldn't draw flies. And yet you blessed us here by year after year after year, this amazing, attractive book, and the one who said in the book, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Bless us now. We're here. Do thou bless our hearts, please. Amen. Let me say that the message tonight is preached to a select group of people. Most of the time when I speak to all of you. Tonight I'm speaking to a select group of you. However, many of you who are not in this select group will one day be in this select group. And I will speak to you tonight, preparing you for the time when you are so chosen to be honored to be in the group about which I speak and to which I speak tonight. I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Here's a wonderful word, the word vocation. It does not mean that if you are a plumber, walk worthy of being a plumber, though that certainly is a truth. It does not mean that if you're a carpenter or a banker, electrician, you walk worthy of whatever vocation. It is not talking about the way that you make your livelihood. The word vocation means, it's called in the same word in the New Testament Greek, is called in Philippians 3:14 a high calling. Walk worthy of the high calling wherewith you're called. And then in Hebrews 3:1, the same word in the Greek is called a heavenly calling. Walk worthy of the heavenly calling wherewith you're called. In 2 Timothy 1:9, this same word is translated a holy calling. Walk worthy of the holy calling wherewith you're called. In Ephesians chapter 1:18, it's called God's calling. And actually, the word vocation means a heavenly invitation. Now, put all these together, it says walk worthy. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of the high calling, the heavenly calling, the holy calling, and God's calling, and the heavenly invitation wherewith ye are called. Now, follow me carefully. God has a will for each one of his children. Your success or failure in life will not be determined of how large a church you pastor, or how big a business you build, or how much money you accumulate, or how much a power that you have or accumulate. Your success in life will be determined on one thing and one thing only. And by the way, after you breathe your last breath here, only thing that's going to amount to anything is, did you do the thing for which you were placed here to do? So I say that God has a will for each of his children. Now, to some people, some select people, not chosen because of their merit, but because of God's grace, to some, he has a special will, a high calling, a heavenly calling, a holy calling, a heavenly invitation. And these are people especially honored by God with a special task in life to perform. Once again, it is not because they're better than somebody else. In fact, we don't even know why these people are chosen. But for some reason, God has chosen some people for a high calling, a heavenly calling, a holy calling, godly calling, or a heavenly invitation. Now let's look for a few moments at these elite people who have received this amazing invitation for a vocation, a higher calling than the rest of us, a more holy calling than the rest of us. Let's start with Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 31, Mary received this heavenly calling, this high calling, this holy calling, this heavenly invitation. And hers was not just the normal will of God, such as all each of us has, but hers was a special, holy, heavenly calling. Think about it for a moment. It was her calling to carry the Christ child in her womb. It was her calling to travail, to give birth to the very Son of God himself. It was her calling to cradle the Christ child in her arms. It was her calling to prepare his meals. It was her calling to keep his house clean back in the days when women were housekeepers. It was her calling to wash and iron his clothing. It was her calling to read him the Bible. It was her calling to take him to the synagogue. It was her calling to teach him to talk. It was her calling to teach the Son of God himself in earthly form how to walk. Wow, think about that. What an honor it was for Mary to receive such a high calling, a heavenly calling, a holy calling, God's calling, and a heavenly invitation. Now, there are others in the Bible
to whom God spoke and lifted them from the rank and file and gave them a special divine calling such as vocation, the word vocation in Ephesians 4:11. I think of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. Abraham was called by God to a high calling, a heavenly calling, a holy calling, God's calling, a heavenly invitation to father the nation of Israel. The nation who gave us the Savior, Abraham, was chosen for the calling to father that nation. He was chosen to father the nation who gave us the Bible. He was chosen to father the nation who gave us the local independent church, which is the only church the Bible knows anything about. He gave us a heavenly calling to give us the nation that first spread the gospel and to whom was given the great commission to carry the gospel into all the world. It was Abraham that was called of God to leave the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. Abraham was given a special calling, lifted out from the rank and file of the rest of us for a holy calling above that which was normal. Wow, what an honor was Abraham to father the nation that gave us the Savior, to father the nation that gave us the Bible, to father the nation that gave us the gospel, to father the nation that gave us salvation's plan, to father the nation that gave us the church, to father the nation that spread the gospel first so you and I could sit in this room tonight as redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God Himself. What an honor was Abraham. His was a holy calling. His was a high calling. His was a heavenly calling. His was a godly calling. And his was a heavenly invitation. I think not only of Mary, the mother of Jesus, but I think of Moses, my favorite Bible character, when it comes to a leader. Never a leader like Moses. What a great man he was. He was chosen a special calling, a heavenly calling, a godly calling, a heavenly invitation. He was chosen from the rest of us, above us, to unite Israel and her land, Canaan. He was chosen to give us the Ten Commandments, which ought to be on the wall of every classroom in America. He was chosen to write the first five books of the Bible. Not that he authored the first five books of the Bible, because no man authored any of the Bible. Every word of this Bible was written in heaven before there ever was a man. And Abraham received it by dictation from God Himself. Our liberal pussyfooters like to call us mechanical dictation people. You call it what you want to call it, Buster, but I have a Bible here that always was. And Abraham, or Moses, was simply commissioned by God to pen the first five books that already were in heaven. It said, what an honor was Moses. He was the original one who gave us the Bible. He was the original one to whom God spoke and said, I want you to deliver my very eternal words to mortal mankind. What an honor it was for Moses. The vocation, if you please, wherewith he was called. It was Moses' honor to go before Pharaoh and say, let my people go, with the original Emancipation Proclamation. It was his honor to be chosen by God from the rest of us, from the rank and file of us, each of us having a will for our lives, but some of us having that special will, that vocation, if you please, above the rest of us. He was chosen to lead over 3 million people in this trip toward the promised land and to smite the angry waters of the Red Sea. And they obeyed him like a private would obey a general in the Army of the United States. It was his responsibility and privilege to smite the waters of the Red Sea and to see them parted, to smite Horeb's human rock from which there came forth water to take care of their needs. Wow! What an honor for Mary to be chosen to a higher calling, a heavenly calling, a godly calling, a holy calling, with a heavenly invitation to be the mother of the Christ child. What an honor it was for Abraham to be called of God with a holy calling, a heavenly calling, a godly calling, a heavenly invitation to become the father of the Jewish nation from which we get the Bible, the gospel, and the Savior himself. What an honor for Moses to have this heavenly calling, this godly calling, this holy calling to lead the Israelites from the land of Egypt to the promised land and to guide them for 40 years, as I said this morning, in that wilderness of mountains and desert and wild animals and serpents. What a man and what a calling was Moses. Then I think of another who had a calling that is seldom mentioned by us in our preaching, and that was Aaron, the high priest. His was a heavenly calling. God called Aaron out from the rank and file of the rest of us to become the first high priest. Now, you think that wasn't something? For Jesus is the last high priest, the high priest who ever lived to make intercession for us. And once our high priest came, he came to fulfill all the high priests, and forever he is at the right hand of the Father as my high priest. But what an honor it was for Aaron to be the first high priest. He was the first one to take the blood in the basin. He was the first one to take that blood inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that blood of the innocent sacrifice on the Holy of Holies in the mercy seat. He was the first one to come back after having done so and cried, "It is finished," which means for another year the sins of the people had been atoned for by the blood, typically, of that lamb that was sprinkled on the altar or on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. What an honor! What an honor it was for Aaron to be the cry of the first, "It is finished," and to be the one who stood between the living and the dead and stayed the plague of God upon the people of God. Listen, I know something about this. My mother told me that Dr. Carlisle, who delivered me almost 74 years ago, Dr. Carlisle came to my mother and he said, "Mrs. Miles, your son has something about him that I've not seen before, maybe by one other, but I don't think that's even true." She said, "What is it, Dr. Carlisle?" And Dr. Carlisle said, "Your son has covered by a veil when he was born. A veil covered your son. That's something special." And my mother knew from that day to the day she went to heaven, her boy was going to be chosen by God to pastor a great church. And boy, for all these years, I've lived with the consciousness that I have been called by God Himself. That's one reason why my job is important. And that's one reason why I magnify my office, brother. I tell you, I like the story I told you about Rose O'Brien when she got a call as the operator, telephone operator at the church. And it was the mayor of Hammond calling. And he said, "I want to talk to Jack." And Rose O'Brien said, "We have no one here who answers to that name." And the mayor said, "Yes, you do. I want to talk to Pastor Jack." She said, "We have no Pastor Jack here." "Why?" "You said you do too." He said, "I want to talk to Pastor Jack." She said, "Sir, we have a Brother Hiles here. We have a Pastor Hiles here. We have a Dr. Hiles here. We have a Preacher Hiles here. But we have nobody here that answers the name of Jack." He said, "Let me tell you, ma'am, I am the mayor of this city." She said, "Let me tell you, sir, I am the receptionist of this office. Now, if you want to talk to Brother Hiles, you ask Brother Hiles." And the mayor of Hammond said, "Okay, Dr. Hiles, Father Hiles, Rabbi Hiles, let me talk to the Hiles fellow." And she said, "I'll put you through. You say you must think you're somebody. I don't think I'm anybody, but I think I hold the highest office known to mankind. And you put your voice. You put your voice. Don't you go around here with a little complex like this and say, 'I'm just a preacher.' What do you mean, just a preacher? What do you mean, just a preacher? Called by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Called by the Creator of the universe. Chosen by God Almighty to represent Him and to preach His name and to preach His book. What do you mean? Pull back your shoulders. Stick out your chest if you've got one. Hold your hand high and say, 'Bless God, mine is a holy calling.'" Aaron, the first high priest. What an honor. What an honor to have such a holy calling, a heavenly calling, a godly calling, a heavenly invitation to be the first high priest. And then in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, God came to a Jewish former Sanhedrin member, Saul of Tarsus, whose job it was to persecute the people of God. And God smote him on the road to Damascus. I love this little line here. Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I think that's one of the most significant verse statements in all the Bible. A question, who art thou, Lord? He said, I don't know who you are, but you're my Lord. That's what he said. And he said, who are? And he signed Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And God said to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, you are a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel. I have pulled you from the rank and file to give you a holy calling, a high calling, a heavenly invitation. I've chosen you for that kind of a job. And it was his joy and his honor to start churches all over Asia Minor. It was his honor to bring the gospel to Rome and the Western world. It was his honor to be responsible for the gospel to come to Europe and from Europe to America. And the Apostle Paul, to him, we owe a debt because we wouldn't be sitting here now if the Apostle Paul hadn't been so called. What an honor. And then another was called in a special way. And that was a man whose life was a failure, but its beginning of it was successful. And that was Saul, the first king of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, you'll find Saul chosen by God. Chosen. The word vocation fits him. A high calling, a holy calling, a godly calling, a heavenly invitation, if you please. It was his job to sit on the highest throne in the world. It was his job to precede David and Solomon and Hezekiah and all the great kings. It was his job to wear the world's most exalted robe and to wear the world's most glittering crown and to sit on the holiest throne known to man and to wield the most sacred scepter known to man. What an honor! What an honor! He joins Abraham and Moses and Mary and Saul of Tarsus, who were called out for a special calling, a holy calling, a godly calling, and a heavenly invitation. Then I think of the 12. John chapter 6 and verse 70, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, you have the calling, the holy calling, the special calling of these 10 common type men to be the apostles of our Savior. Think of the honor of walking with him for 3 years. Think of the honor hearing him preach and be the nearest to him as he did so. Think of the honor to hear his innermost feelings as he would meditate out loud in the evening time. Think of the honor to share a meal with the Savior. Think of the honor that they had to see his miracles, to feel his heartbeat, to hear him say, pray, and say, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Think of the honor that was theirs to hear him sing. The Bible says in the Last Supper, when they had sung an hymn, wouldn't you love to hear Jesus sing? And it was their honor to hear him sing, just like it's your honor to hear me sing here on Sunday morning. So I said, just like it's your honor. Amen. All right. It was their honor to hear him teach. It was their honor to sit with him in the upper room. It was their honor to have him wash their feet in a display of humility. It was their honor to hear his parting words, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. It was their honor to see him in his resurrection body. It was their honor to see him and hear him as he gave the Great Commission. It was their honor to carry out that Great Commission and spread the gospel to the world and turn the world upside down with the gospel. They saw Bartimaeus when his eyes were open, and they saw Lazarus' empty grave. They saw him make the waves of Galilee into a sidewalk, and to see him stick out his tongue and grab at his stubborn law. They saw him turn the mouth of a fish into a cash station. It was these men called of God, a heavenly calling, a high calling, a godly calling, a heavenly invitation. Something very special to do for God. Not to mention, except in passing, Gideon, chosen to save his nation. Not to mention, except in passing, John the Baptist, chosen to introduce the Savior to a waiting world. Not to mention, except in passing, Isaiah, to be the first of the great prophets. Not to mention David, God's choice as king of Israel and a man after his own heart. Not to mention, except in passing, Noah, chosen to build an ark that preserved life on earth. And John, the other apostle, whose head rested upon the very breast of Jesus Christ himself. Not to mention, except in passing, Peter, the greatest Christian at that time on the face of the earth and the leader of the apostles. We have mentioned those chosen ones. Those, each of us has a calling of God. Each of us has a will for our lives. But God reaches down in a group of people like this, and he plucks one out and says, I have a higher calling for you. A heavenly calling for you. Something very special for you. We've mentioned those who've been so chosen to a high calling, heavenly calling, holy calling, God's calling, heavenly invitation. We have mentioned tonight kings. We have mentioned prophets. We have mentioned apostles. We have mentioned missionaries. We have mentioned other great callings of God. Now, let me give you an equal one. Let me give you another calling that is called chosen of God. A calling when God reaches down like in front of us and lifts out one or more of us to a special heavenly calling. May I read my text at this time? Behold, I refine thee. But not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Let me paraphrase that. I have chosen thee to be in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen thee for the furnace of affliction. And ladies and gentlemen, that word chosen is the same word that's used over and over again in the Bible. And so tonight, just as chosen as Job are those of you who live in the furnace of affliction. Just as chosen as Peter. In fact, Job himself. Job never did anything. Job never built a great work for God. Job never led a nation. And he is one of the great Christians in the Bible. Why? Because his was a special, high, and holy calling to suffer for the Savior. Such as the three Hebrew children. Somebody tell me what Shadrach did. Somebody tell me the great accomplishments of Meshach. Would somebody tell me the great achievements of Abednego? Would somebody tell me what these men did? The only thing they did that we have recorded, though I'm sure there is more, the only unusual thing, God reached down one day and said, just as I've chosen David with a high calling to be the king, and Isaiah to be the prophet, and Abraham to father a nation, and Moses to deliver that nation, I've chosen you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for the furnace of affliction. What a calling. Would somebody tell me what John Bunyan did? Oh, he was a great preacher, but he was a street preacher. Preached to the street people. Would somebody tell me what great church he built? Oh, I know, I read his biography, I know most of the things about Bunyan. But Bunyan was no Charles Spurgeon who built a great church. Bunyan was no Apostle Paul who was a great missionary. John Bunyan is known for one thing, and that is 12 years in the Bedford jail because he preached on the streets. Just as God reached down one day and said to David, I've chosen you above the rest to be a king, Isaiah, I've chosen you above the rest to be a prophet, I've chosen you, Moses, to be a great deliverer. I've chosen you, Abraham, to be the father of a great nation. I've chosen you, Mary, to bear the Christ child. I've chosen you, John Bunyan, to let the whole world know you can stay in jail for 12 years and write Pilgrim's Progress and be used of God. And he crossed me. Did no great work for God. She was blind. She was chosen for the furnace of affliction. Helen Keller, chosen for the furnace of affliction. Mrs. Spurgeon, an invalid most of the years, midlife years of Charles Spurgeon, sat in a wheelchair, confined to a chair for most of her life.
And yet look who she gave us. The prayer warrior for the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, chosen for the furnace of affliction. So, if yours is a furnace life, you're as called as the Apostle Paul. Your calling is as lofty as that of King David, or Abraham, or Moses, or Mary the mother of Jesus. So the Bible says, if you are so called, walk worthy of that lofty calling. No complaining. No griping. You think David griped because he was chosen to be the king? Well, if you've been chosen to suffer, you've been chosen to... You listen to me tonight? You've been chosen to an equal position. So let me add a few more names to our list. Of Mary, Moses, Abraham, Gideon, Saul, David, Noah, Isaiah, John the Beloved, John the Baptist, the Apostle Peter. Let's add names like Marlene Evans, Randy Rogers, Mrs. Rogers, Joe Mahowski, Don Boyd, and many others who sit here tonight. Don't feel like you've been mistreated. What do you mean, mistreated? Chosen! A high calling! A holy calling! A heavenly calling! Comparable to Isaiah, Moses, Abraham, Peter, Paul, King Saul, and Mary the mother of Jesus. The same word chosen in Isaiah is the word for high calling and a holy calling and a heavenly calling. And many others here in this room who have been so chosen. Listen carefully, I'm through. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are suffering tonight, I think of my mother, and of course you've heard me say it so often. There was a woman chosen for the furnace that was cost to Mary Hiles. Who at the tender age of 13 had to quit, third grade had to quit school. Who was a third grade student, had to quit school, never went back to school again. To go home and cook and wash in a black wash pot and stir the clothes with a stick. Draw water from the well and heat the water on a wood stove to wash. Washing was an entire day's job in those days. And for those years, the third grade on, her mother was dead. She became a mother and a housewife for her brothers and her two brothers and her sister and her father. At the age of 17, she married. At the age of 18, she gave birth to a baby. That baby never walked or talked. A spastic child. For 7 years, lay motionless in a bed and died at the age of 7. She gave birth to a second baby. That baby was healthy and rosy-cheeked. And one day that baby got the measles. And Mother picked her up in her arms one day and thought she was getting well. And little Hazel said, Mother, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus. And at that moment, she passed away in my mother's arms. From the third grade, the furnace of affliction. From the third grade, the furnace of affliction. Then the depression came. Mother and Dad lost their little store they had in Italy, Texas. Bankruptcy took the little store because of the depression. Daddy couldn't find work. He turned to liquor. Became an alcoholic. Left us. Left Mother to rear me and my sister. She walked 2 miles a day to a public school lunchroom to work for 50 cents a day behind the steam table. To keep some food in this body and some clothes on this body. I recall one day when I went to the Army in World War II, the last words my mother spoke to me, she said, son, I held Lorraine in my arms and lost her. I held Hazel in my arms and lost her. I held your daddy in my arms and lost him. And now then the war has taken you away. From my arms. She was chosen. But don't you remember my mother? Don't you recall the greatness of Coastal Mary Hyatt? Did you ever hear her complain? Did you ever hear her gripe? Did you ever hear her feel that she'd been shortchanged?
No! My mother felt that that boy that had a veil around him 74 years ago, this September 25th, was God's gift to her, and that daughter, Earlene, was God's gift to her, and she reared two young people to become servants, full-time servants of God. I'm saying tonight, when the time comes, when God reaches down and picks you out, and you are chosen for the furnace, raise your head high and say, good, I'm equal with King David and King Saul and Saul of Tarsus. I'm equal with the Apostle Paul and Abraham and Moses and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm saying tonight, whatever it is,
if God has picked you out to do it, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Would you bow your heads, please?